Hebrews 5, verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who have by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So the exercising of the senses, when you start partaking of strong meat and start operating in strong meat, I think we would qualify for that, I'm quite certain. You're going to have your spiritual senses exercised. A lot of people ask, why do we have to go through all this just to get to the Father? Why not just go straight to the Father? Well, first of all, that's not an easy jump, number one. From here to the top of the mountain, that's not easy. It's a journey. There's a lot of things that have to be removed. You have to understand about the Father, this is the highest level there is. Amen? And in the Father's glory, which is the realm you function in, no flesh can glory there. So the flesh has to be dealt with. Also, no works, toils, or labors can function there. Because the Father is the absolution of rest. He's sat down. Everything he does is from a finished position. So if there's any works, toils, or labor, those things can't function in him. And so they have to be put down. Flesh has to be put down. The soul. Now, when we're babes, we have a lot of mixture. We'll have spirit, we'll have soul, we'll have flesh. We have lots of mixture. The soul can get into the flesh areas, like the body too. And what happens is we don't always know which one we're operating out of. I mean, you've done something you thought it was God. Turned out it wasn't God. You just knew it was when you first jumped into it. You just knew for a certainty it was God that said it, you know. Now, this realm of the soul, this is classified as the soul realm. It can manufacture a lot of things that feel like God, look like God, but in the end, it's not God. I've seen people move in the soul realm, fall flat on their face. I have moved in the soul realm. I've moved in the flesh realm. I have fallen on my face. I understand the difference. But you have to come to terms when you're operating in these realms with God. You have to come to terms when you fall. You have to recognize, okay, it wasn't God. See, if you don't recognize it wasn't God, then you'll keep repeating it. I've seen people justify everything. There was a season in my life I justified a lot of things. If you justify the soul realm, you won't learn anything. And if you don't learn anything, then that part of you stays in a state of darkness. Now, how does that pertain to the Father? I'll get to that in a minute. So I've seen so many things that I've seen people just absolutely convinced it was God. Just 100%. I've seen it in relationships. Someone thinks, oh, this person belongs to me, you know. And it was not God, and they did not ever yield. I've seen things move into business realms that look like God. Man, it just felt like it was going to take off. And you jump in and you fall on your face, or investments, you fall on your face and you find it wasn't God. Well, that's a part of a soul machination that has to be surrendered. In lieu or in light of dreaming with the Father, sometimes people ask, well, why do we have to go through all these things? Because the Father's absolute truth. And when you dream with the Father, you don't dream in the soul realm. You dream only in the spirit realm. And the Father will not add himself to the soul realm. And so if that realm's not bowed or surrendered, crucified, if it doesn't go through the Jordan baptism, if it doesn't go through a baptism of truth, then what will happen? You'll end up trying to dream in the Father, a dream of the soul. And the Father won't add himself to that. And it'll become fruitless. And so sometimes that's why God takes us through all the operations, because they all have a specific purpose. Throne of grace, surrender. Jordan baptism is huge, huge benefit to functioning in the Father. If you, like Sharon brought out, name it, Elijah told him, go dip in the Jordan 7 times and you'll be whole. Well, he didn't want to do that. And sometimes we want the inheritance, or we want the fruit of the kingdom without the baptism of the Jordan. The seven represented that perfection of baptism. And so we go through that perfection of baptism. Notice his body was at the tender state of a little child. God had so renewed his flesh. And so not only received a healing, he received a youth, a transference into youth. And so there are so many benefits, but if we don't do that and we don't go through the proper channel and we don't get things surrendered, Lily's Grace, why do we have to do Lily's Grace? Nobody has to do anything. There's nobody you're making anyone doing anything. We're showing you benefits besides the incredible benefits. Lily's Grace is one of the most phenomenal places ever. But that rest that you can achieve there is so awesome. It is so consistent. What it does, it causes the bowing down of the soul, the dethroning of works, the toil and the labor, that system we were born into. We were born into systems that we don't know are systems until truth lets you know it's a system. But if we're going to function in the high places of the Father, all those things have to bow. Tree of Life is an awesome place, ministration of the leaves, the life of God, and then in the love of the Father. Why love of the Father? That's pretty simple. He's not going to leave us as orphans. You and I, he's going to deal with dysfunctional issues. He's going to uncap dysfunctional issues. And then he's going to make us whole enough to function with him in joint heirship. And that's ultimately what we're looking for, that operating in joint heirship with the Father. There's two great realms we function in the Father. In my opinion, the Father's everything. And that was kind of the Lord's opinion too. He said that. He said, I'm going to show you the Father. He goes, I'm going away. They didn't like the fact he was going away. He goes, listen, the Father is greater than I am. The Father is greater. I'm going away to make a way for you to move into a greater place. He said his word, the Father is greater. The Father will always honor the Son. The Son's always honoring the Father. That's what they do. But the Father has this realm about him, and this is what the Lord operated it in his earthly ministry. This is what we're coming into. This realm is very powerful. Ann and I are experiencing this at an unprecedented level right now. It's so amazing. Praise God. So as we move into this with the Father, there's certain things in this journey that help clear things out of the way so you can move into a consistent place, a consistent dwelling place. Very hard to jump from the earth all the way to the fullness of the Father. That's a very hard thing to do. I don't care what anybody says to you. God gave like a pattern to go through, and there's these things, if you do them and become teachable. One of the things people do is they hear the word of God, but sometimes they're not teachable. In other words, they'll hear, but oh, I'm going to do it my way. That's fine. But what happens is when you do that, it becomes inconsistent. And God gave all these revelations in great, 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 great detail. He gave these revelations in a level of detail that have a power to them. And when we do them on a daily basis, I mean, they do something for us and they get us delivered where we need to be, because the kingdom of God is moving forward right now. And if you really want to know the truth, we're already out of the Jordan right now. We're in the first stages of the promised land. A lot of you are coming into Gilgal right now. You're coming into the baptism of the Jordan. Some of you are experiencing that. Some people are really experiencing that right now. And a couple of you have already moved into the promised land with the Father. In the legal position, we're between Gilgal and Jericho, right there, if you want to know where we're at. I mean, it's just amazing how we're walking this out, just line upon line with the word of God. It's like you're walking out the word. You're walking out literal, the promised land. I mean, it's so literal, it's unreal. And the Lord's going to come out and meet us. We're in the time of the eyewitness. It's going to happen. It's just going to happen. God is about to release the apostolic at an untold level, and it's going to be powerful. It's right on time too. Amen. It's right on time. And so we are right in there. But what we've learned is even though we might be somewhere technically or positionally, we might be between Gilgal and Jericho. And Jericho is going to unlock it all. It's the cornerstone stronghold of the promised land, that those walls are going to fall. Glory to God. 7 days of light is a major reality in the kingdom of God. And so when we move into these dimensions and these arenas, we don't just because that's where we are. Like I was in the Jordan for 18 months. I missed a month out of 18 months. For 18 months, I stood there with this constitution and rehearsed it before the Father for 18 straight months. I didn't let go. The big key is you can't let go. I've listened to a lot of faith people lately. And when Igor Copeland was saying the other day, she goes, man, if God gives you something, you cannot let go of it. You have to stay there until he does it. And he says, too many people let go and say this stuff doesn't work because they let go. Can't let go. If you let go, you're going to go back into the same system you've been in, and it's going to have the same result season after season after season. But if we don't let go, we'll move on through, and God's going to open up the promised land. And that's what's happening right now. But one of the things we did when we were in the Jordan is we moved on in. And that's the glorious thing about the Father is you can move into him. We call it perambulating. It's the word with the Father. I will walk in you. That word walk means perambulate. It means I'm going to walk out this thing in you. I'm going to take you into that dimension. And you literally walk it out. It's not an imagination thing, although he uses imagination. It's not a soul thing or a mind thing. You don't sit here and practice positive thinking. The world does that. That's not what we're doing. I'm not positive thinking. I am Father God dwelling. But Father is living. Everything about him is living. His plan for you is living. His operations for you is living. His purpose is living. Everything he speaks to you has a living element to it. And because it's living, when it engages you, it'll engage your imagination and it'll engage your heart. You will see. That's why the Lord said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father doing, but the Father showeth. And the way he's showing it from that heart, the eye of the heart, or as a man thinketh in his heart. It's that realm of the heart that the Father engages. And he takes his living will and infuses it into the heart. And you live it. You literally walk out and live it with him. And that's how the Lord did the miracles. He would live it. That's how he's going to do your future. Now, when you live in that dimension, that's the way the Father actually grants you. Because when you start living in these realms with the Father, he's clothing you with this. And you get to bring it back here. Amen? And this is what we're doing now. And the power of it's just awesome, man, because we're in the final leg of something that is taking us a very, very long time, but will just completely revolutionize the way we do life. It just completely family, ministry, business, personally, everything is going to revolutionize because the Father has thoughts towards us we've never even thought. He has a plan and a will that we may know parts of it. And so what we talked about this week is the Father will send you out a seed, like a word or a promise or a dream. And as you bring that to him, I gave an example Wednesday night, and you start dwelling with him in it, then he starts expanding that. Some of those things we know to be God, but there are other things the soul can manufacture. And that's why you have to go through this process to put down the soul, because the soul is very good at manufacturing things. And when you start manufacturing, a good example was Jim Baker. God told him to go on air and build a television network. He did. Probably didn't do it perfectly, but he was in the will of God. So all of a sudden, he gets this vision. While he's in the will of God, he wants to build an amusement park and build this huge amusement park for God. Well, see, he had stepped out. Sounded good to him, but he had stepped out of the purpose of God. And see, when you start moving in God, you step out of the realm of God and start manufacturing from the soul realm. Then what happens? You are given power to birth. Just like Abraham, he manufactured from the soul realm. He was given power to produce that seed of Christ. But what did he do? He also produced the Ishmael, which is still at war and will be at war until the very end. All of that is because one man's disobedience. That's how powerful the soul is. God doesn't take away your power. And so when we start adding the element of the soul to it, what happens, we can give birth to those things. And the enemy loves to give birth to the things of the soul because it becomes very destructive. It has a lot of disharmony with it, and it disrupts everything. In the early days, I had all of this vision. I didn't know what to do with it, and I was constantly trying to give birth to something, you know. And I would I was just trying to move that thing in, because all God ever did was give me one vision after another, after another, after another, after another. And I'm like, man, he would just keep giving it. And I know that it was overloading me. So my soul kicked in, and I had ambition in those days, and I would start building something, building something, building something. And man, we were just trying to do. You get the do thing going. And just, I gotta go do something. And all of a sudden we'd have fires burning everywhere, man, in the church. Man, a fire over here, a fire over here. We spent all of our time putting fire out. And finally, I was complaining to the Lord about it. I said, what is going on? He says, well, you birthed all that. He goes, I didn't tell you to do that. You did that as a response to my words. Because you don't know how these are going to bring and brought forth. The larger the vision, the more training it's going to take to bring that forth. Especially in the glory realm. Because the glory realm, he won't share with flesh. So there's a lot of training that takes place. And a lot of people don't want to do that. They don't want to go through that kind of training. I understand that, because there is a lot of training. But the benefits are going to be so profound. The benefits are going to come out of this kind of training, that if you can see and you keep your eye and your heart focused and see that level of benefit that's going to come out, you'll stay with it. It's like a doctor. Think about it. A doctor will go to school for 12 years and won't think about it. Most doctors are going to go to school for 8 to 12 years. Think about it. Think about people who go to college. They're already programmed, I'm going for 4 years. 4 years I'm giving my life. That's probably a tenth of their life they're given to educate themselves on a certain thing that they're going to do for life. They won't even think about it. Kingdom of God, if it takes more than 3 days, or takes more than 3 weeks, this can't be God. This can't be God. This is taking too long. Why do we have to do this? Give me the quick fix. Lay hands on me, do the Shabba Shabba, and boom, I'm there. It didn't work that way. And we're talking about living and operating with an eternal God, where the things that are in the way is us. And we have to get out of the way, but we don't know we're in the way. And we have to get before him and let him show us that we're in the way. And he moves us out of the way so we can learn to do things his way. Amen. Think about the children of Israel. The whole children of Israel says, you've seen my acts, you've never known my ways. A whole nation saw him demonstrate and never knew who he was. You don't know my ways. Moses knew his way. Caleb, Joshua, the whole nation did not know his way. See that? And so to know his way, to understand the way of God, we have to get close to him. That takes time, discipline. It takes surrender. It takes a lot of things that we don't necessarily want to do. It takes getting the flesh down. Flesh doesn't get its way. But in the end, your spirit man will get his way. Amen. In the end, you'll get everything you ever wanted with the Father. You'll get it if you stay with him. Say, if you stay with him. And so we have to stay with the process. And sometimes he's got to put that soul down, so we have to keep eating the meat. Keep eating the meat, praise God. Strong meat belongeth to those that are full age, discerning both good and evil. Strong meat belongs to the full age that can discern both good and evil. Because the enemy, what he does is he comes with good. And as he comes with good, that's awesome, but we don't know what's behind it. How many of you have gone through a season and didn't see the evil behind the good? Couldn't discern it. You learn to discern those things. The more you get exercised in it, you start discerning what's happening. With the Father, you can discern his will when you get with him, because he's truth. And so as you discern and you're operating in truth, you're going to bring that out. And that's going to be brought out. As we dream with the Father, we dream in truth. And so as we go through baptisms, you know, like the name in baptism, 7 times you got to baptize. That's a perfection of baptism. It takes time to unravel that old man. It takes time to put him down. Amen. But the glorious thing about the baptism is there's a power there we didn't know before. And now we're experiencing that level of power and putting the old man down and getting him out of the way, because he is in the way. There's no doubt about it. The old man gets in the way very fast, and the enemy will see to it that the old man gets in the way. The old man can get in the way in the form of depression. The old man can get in the way in the form of heaviness. The old man can get in the way in the form of strife. The old man can get in the way of indifference. The old man getting away in a lot of pride. The old man getting away of soulish manufacturing. The old man getting away of impatience. Why do we have to do this? I'll just go take the ram by the horn and do it myself. Yes, that'll work for you when you're a babe, but no more when we grow up. So all that man has to be put down to function in the Father. And that's what we're trying to do here, is train, equip people, a group, to function in the fullness of the Father. The good thing is we have this prototype pattern now, this perfect, in my opinion, perfect pattern he's given us to move into the promised land with him. And we're on the threshold now of the greatest birth we've ever seen. Man, if I could share with you, that's the problem with some of these things I can't share. But you'll see it. What'll happen, you'll see the fruit of it here soon. But as we stay with him, every one of us, God has a very specific plan for us. Amen. And we're not going to be able to walk out all these things and change all these things. You're going to wear yourself out trying to change everything around you. You're going to try to change everything. You're going to wear yourself out because that's not how God does things. He's going to produce the change element. We're learning how he does that. And when he does that by not just surrender, some people just surrender. That's not enough. But it's good, but it's not enough. As we move into these realms with the Father, he unloads that old man. He unloads. He gets things out of the way so your faith can function in him. And as we learn to function in him, so we do surrender, and that's an awesome thing to surrender. But then we got to move in past surrender. We got to move on in and into the glory, into the freedoms, into the liberties, into the promised land of the Father. Justin, he's probably watching right now. He's like a little kid in the candy store because he's just starting to enter in now to this thing I'm preaching about. And he's like, man, this stuff's awesome. Because the veil had to break for him to see it, but now he sees it. So sometimes we try to do this our own way because we haven't been teachable. And somebody can actually be telling you for a whole year, maybe two, maybe ten, they've been telling you, this is the way, this is the way. But I have a way I'm going to do this, though. And what happens is we stick to our own way. We get veiled. We can't hear. And we can't hear. We can't function. Probably when that veil gets shattered and broken, we can move into the ease. Amen. And once we move into the ease, one thing I want you to stop saying is I can't do this. You got to break agreement. Another thing you need to stop saying, this is too hard. Another thing you're not saying is, why do we have to do all this? All of those things are the wrong things to say. Because if you keep saying that, you're going to tap out every time. You have to come to God in faith. You have to come to God with hunger and in faith and believe what you're doing will produce a result in your life that you have never had and you could never do on your own, not in 1,000 lifetimes. If you don't believe that, you won't stay with the process. If you believe that what God is saying to us, I'm going to give you a land. Think about it. He's telling me, children of Israel, I'm going to give you your own land. They've never had their own land. All they ever knew was work, hard bondage. They had to work for their own bricks to build with. They had to labor. And that's all they ever knew. Then God puts them in the wilderness. But all they've ever known was wilderness in Egypt. And what does God keep saying to them? He keeps telling them about the promised land. Why? That's where he wants their focus. He puts them in a wilderness. There's nothing beautiful to look at. Have you ever been in a place in your life there's nothing beautiful to look at? Somebody said, yeah, that's me right now. Why do you think God does that? He does not put you in a place like that for you to complain. Say amen. He doesn't say, oh my God, look at that. He doesn't put you in a place that's not beautiful to complain about. Nothing's beautiful. He puts you there because you're not supposed to look at it. If it's not beautiful, if it's not glorious and not wonderful, God's saying that's not what you're supposed to look at. See that? He's helping you out. But if you don't understand to tune your heart and the eye of your heart to the beautiful things of God, what will happen? You'll keep looking at what's not beautiful. And then if you let it get in your mouth, you'll start prophesying that atmosphere you were never designed to stay in. You'll start accepting it, prophesying it, and wearing it. And when you start wearing it, it becomes a veil. And when it becomes a veil, it's a lifestyle. When it becomes a lifestyle, it's very hard to break. You get clothed in something you were never designed to be clothed in. Amen? He wants that heart. That's one David said, this one thing I desire that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He's a king saying, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord. He got a lot of things he could do, but he goes, I want to behold the beauty of the Lord. That's where my eyes going to be. I want my head to be lifted above my enemies. Say, he lifteth our head above our enemies. I want to fix my heart on something, because if you're fixed on what's going on out here, I don't know if you've noticed, if the world is not beautiful out there. And you've got a 24-hour news cycle that's constant. There are people literally in the news that wants this nation to fail. Literally. They don't have your back. They don't care a thing in the world about you. They want control. They wouldn't care if this whole nation got slaughtered as long as they get control. Then you've got real things out there. But then you have God in the midst of all this. And then God's saying, well, I don't have time to pray. Now what's the excuse? Because most of you are probably not going into the office. Take this time. It's a beautiful time to see a beautiful God. Amen. And beholding the Father's beautiful. Man, he's having on and I look into our future, dwelling in our future. And our future's just, we look at each other. Man, our future is incredibly bright. We're not even looking in it. We're going to dwell in it with him. We go into this wedding almost every day because Anna and I are going to have another wedding. And we know exactly where it's going to be and how it's going to be and the whole thing. And he takes us in there and we live this wedding out. It's awesome. How do you know? I've already lived in it probably. I've dwelt in it 100 times, but I've lived in the Father in that wedding probably 10 times with the Father. That's just part of the future. That's part of the breakthrough. Amen. So what God says, the wedding is on the post side of what you're asking for. So he uses the wedding to generate faith. He can use something very dear to your heart to generate faith. He'll put you on the other side of your breakthrough. Sometimes you don't even have to dwell with him in the breakthrough. You can dwell with him in something that's on the other side. And by default, God gives you all that's in between. When the Father on February 8th, took on and out in the spirit. He gave us this whole thing, what I call the 7 days of light, but he gave us this whole thing and everything in it. I don't know how he did that. You'll have to ask him. I know how he did it. I don't have to describe how he did that. But he transferred our future to us. Not one aspect, a whole season. Everything up, I'm going to give you meat. Everything up to the white horse. The run, the literal opening of the book of Revelation 5. There's a season that's happening before that day. He gave us that whole season and then gave us a word that confirmed it of Psalms 21. Just incredible. And because he gave it to us, now when we go in to pray, I don't have to stand in Jordan. I can go into any single part of that season. That season will last probably, in my opinion, 3.5 more like 7 months. I see it more as a 7 month season. But anything and everything that he has included in that season, I can literally go in and dream with him in a state of fullness. There's a lot of things in that season. It's not one thing. There's a multiple things in that season. And he keeps adding more in there. But if you're not attached to the Father, you'll be shutting down with the world because you're listening to the world. You're looking at the world. I'm not looking at the world. The world is not my prophet. The news media is not my prophet. The Father's will is what I... People sending me stuff all the time. Listen to me. Everybody's going to prophesy in where they're at. So you got to watch what people are saying to you prophetically. Because if they're at a certain level with God and they're issuing a prophetic word, they could be true in their assessment, but off. Because they might be true in seeing certain way, but they can be off concerning what the Father's real purpose is. Because they're only seeing in part. The Bible says we see in part, we prophesy in part. Higher we get, the more we can see. Amen? So you got all these words, but they can offset you because some of them come out of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And some of them come out of the soul. And some of them come out of someone manufacturing the way they see this. For example, this is judgment of God. This virus has come upon this nation's judgment of God. Listen, God can't go seek and save everybody if he's judging them. When Jesus stood in the earth, he goes, I didn't come to condemn you. You're already condemned. He said, the world's already condemned. Why am I going to come and condemn you? You're already condemned. Well, what about the woman with the issue of blood? Anybody need to be judged? It was her. He goes, I don't condemn you. He goes, where are your accusers? Neither do I accuse you. I did not come here to condemn you or accuse you. I come here to save you. If you want to know where God is at, God is in the solution business. The world system is dark. There's a curse that operates in the world system. But there's also the kingdom that operates. So discern those two things. Because if you think this is God coming, then you can get subject to that stuff. Well, God's put sin to teach us something. What is he going to teach you anything? He didn't send it. He doesn't manufacture that stuff. He manufactures healing, wholeness, breakthrough. It's like the Lord told Kevin's and I. He goes, do you understand what I was doing and my purpose? Kevin's eye is dead. He's having a conversation while they're working on his body. He's standing in the dental office and the Lord's having a conversation with him. And he tells him, he says, you understand what I was doing when I was healing people, don't you? And Kevin goes, yeah, you're healing. He goes, no. I was just operating in the Father's original mandate. Because when God looks at sickness and disease, that is not his will. He doesn't author that. So all I was doing is fulfilling the Father's original mandate of wholeness and salvation for the world. And so if God sees someone sick, the Father's answer is you are to be whole, because he does not acknowledge that. He has another plan for you. Amen. The Bible says we are to know no man after what? The flesh. He said, know no man. What does he mean by that? Don't know anybody after the flesh. Don't know someone after the flesh. We're to know each other after the Spirit, and we're also to see each other in the lenses of the Father's eyes. If we see that, we see something different. Amen? Because if you see somebody after the flesh, and you know them, and you're like, oh my, see, you're looking at them from who they are. The Father doesn't look at you who you are. He looks at you who you're going to be in his will and his plan, and he's always orchestrating that plan to get you to what he sees you to be. Amen? That is the way the Lord works with us. And so that's the way we're going to function. So in the promised land, when you're with him, you cannot see yourself in the lenses of Egypt. You cannot see yourself in the lenses of the wilderness. Why? That's why he takes you through circumcision, all the way back to Adam, all the way back to Egypt. He rolls it out. Why did he do that? Because you cannot wear Egypt and a wilderness mentality in a realm of the promised land. You can't wear that. All that has to go. You see, there are things that have to go, and there's things that are being added. And as we let him do his work, he clothes us with a new image. You'll be amazed at how much he actually thinks about you. You'll be amazed at how big he thinks about you, how large. He will stretch forth the curtain of your belief system. Amen? He stretches it forth.